this morning, I will be addressing marriage and how we are to hold marriage in high esteem, or to honor marriage, as the ESV says. So why don't we actually enjoy reading a section together out of Hebrews 13, 1 through 5. So I invite you to turn there if you have your Bibles ready. Good to open up the Word of God together. So yeah, let's soak in these five verses together. Hebrews 13, 1 through 5. Let brotherly love continue, and do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. But remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is the word of God. So how about you join me in a quick word of prayer over what I'm about to share? So Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege of having your words available to us and the freedom to gather together and study it. Please bless the time this morning now. Use and direct my words to impact all of us in ways that lead us into devoting ourselves to you and your mission for our lives. I ask this within your power and your love and your direction. Amen. And so to keep things in context, I just want to remind us that the chapter before this in Hebrews, chapter 12, is all about endurance. It's asking us to live our life or to run our race with endurance. And in order to fuel that endurance, we're reminded to keep looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I love that description of Christ. We are told to embrace the discipline of God, even though it's painful at times, because it's actually a gift from God that yields righteousness and peace. And at the very end of the chapter, we are urged to be grateful for the grace that Jesus is always giving us, and to strive for holiness in response, which helped make sense of the five verses I just shared with you, because now chapter 13 opens with, since I've asked you to now pursue holiness, here's some applications. Here's several things in these five verses to apply. So I'll just quickly review them. The first verse of five, keep loving each other. A path to holiness, keep loving each other. Number two, welcome people into your homes, the hospitality call. Give support, the third one, to people who are experiencing difficulty and suffering. It mentions imprisonment and mistreatment. It is talking about Christians. So I don't think anybody's too confused about that, but we're in this day and age when Hebrews was written, the context was people were being thrown into prison for being Christians, right? Be there for them when they're in prison. But that's not the emphasis for today. But anyway, the fourth, hold marriage in an honoring way. A separate point, strive for purity within marriage. Six, keep yourself free from greed. Seven, be content with what you have by remembering God is always with you, Deuteronomy 31:6, and he always fulfills his promises. Romans 8:28, all things are working together for your good. So no matter what the difficulties that are coming, endure. Run that race with endurance. But as I said, I'm going to focus on verse 4, commanding us to hold marriage in high honor and to keep sexuality within marriage pure. So what is marriage and what does it mean to be keeping it pure? Well, let me just say, holding marriage in honor is a job for all of us, not just married people. We need singles and married couples to be holding marriage in high honor. I don't think I have to spend a lot of time here. I think everybody's very aware this is difficult today, that marriage is being pushed, the culture is pushing on us an ideal that marriage can be experienced in any way, shape, or form. Men and men, women and women, even other odd unions. And we just all need to stand in unity here and declare with patient and respectful strength that marriage is a Christian word. It has Christian context. It's derived from the Bible when Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother," a marriage reference, "and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh," or cleave together. And we know that two foundational things are set. First, a man and a woman leave father and mother. They leave all other relationships to form a very dramatic bond, right? I've talked about this before. Marriage is dramatic. It's a bond of bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh kind of thing. No other relationship is more important. No other relationship is of higher priority than your spouse if married, of course. The first is God, but then it's your spouse. The second foundation being set here is a man and a woman are also joined together as one flesh, or cleave, which is a reference to sex. And to hold God's design for sex in honor means we all need to stand firm upon the Christian application of sex to be enjoyed only within marriage, only between a man and a woman. And sex is this, it's actually this beautiful extension of God himself. I don't know if you've thought about this before, but God, a male figure, gives life to us, right? Gives life to his bride, the church. And so we see that within the way he created us in his own image. Males give life to a female, she receives it, and what is created? Life. Life is created. It's actually mind-blowing when you start thinking about what God's trying to teach you through this design of sex. But it's even deeper than that. The Hebrew word for cleave means to cling. So again, kind of like my first point, the message isn't just about sex. It's about a deep covenant promise to cling to one another in all things. Your spouse should always have your never-ending grace. They should always be treated in the way Jesus is treating you. And that is a high call. And it is why the enemy hates marriage, hates the way sex is designed, and is doing so much to warp and destroy the view of it. Right? Amen? What does it mean to keep it pure? I don't think I need to spend a lot of time here either. Married couples are to not have any type of emotional or physical affairs. Emotional affairs are all about embracing lust and sexual fantasy, right? Jesus clarified that even looking at someone else in lust is committing adultery. So pornography, romance novels, idolization of other people that leads to thoughts and feelings that get in the way of you and your spouse, no, right? You're supposed to run from it, fight it. And of course, going farther than just thinking about someone in lust, but actually engaging in a physical act of sex outside the marriage is unacceptable. It's such a serious break of the covenant that the marriage promise, divorce is allowed. God doesn't want it, but he allows it, right? When that type of situation has come to pass. So, fighting for marriage to be held in high honor and for sex to be honored within God's design is extremely difficult right now. This means we do need to do a lot more than just holding marriage in high honor in our thoughts. We need to act. We need everyone to stand up for marriage between one man and one woman. We also need married couples to recognize their need to prioritize cultivating a healthy marriage. If we don't, we will continue to lose the fight, and we are losing in many ways right now, and I say this because of several reasons, but here are a few. Marriages are struggling in life as a norm. Communication and connection issues, parenting disagreements, financial differences with expectations, which stress, and just general expectations are often so different that nobody is happy. Right? And we see marriages struggling so much so that it's common for families to just live within dysfunction. Most of us see and talk to married couples on the brink of divorce. And we see how Christians are practicing marriage in ways that are no longer much different than non-Christians. This is why we see a 900% increase in couples living together before marriage. Right? This is why we see so many younger couples choosing not to get married. Why? Because if the normal is to exist within dysfunction and probably end in divorce, why would I do that? Right? It kind of makes sense. I'll take a hard pass on that and I'll just do it my own way. This is where the divorce rate is troubling. The non-Christian divorce rate is around 50%. Now, encouraging, the divorce rate for Christians is way lower, around 25%. Okay, so that's somewhat encouraging. But our kids are talking to all those other kids who are going through divorce. So it's a much more common situation, right? The negative messaging about marriage dominates our life. I'm not a big joke teller, but most of us, like anybody joking around about marriage, how many jokes are positive? Right? It's just pervasive. And here's another stat I just ran into in getting ready for this. Our older generation is actually failing badly. The divorce rate for ages 50 and older has doubled. The divorce rate for 65 and older has tripled in recent years. We need some help. The underlying issues for Christians is even though our divorce rate is lower, is just that even within Christian marriages, what I mentioned earlier, marital dysfunction is way too normal. 53% of highly happy marriages have a focus of God being number one, and then their spouse being number two, a strong conviction to live that way. Whereas struggling Christian marriages only have 7% where they are viewing it through that lens. Like, God will be one, my spouse will be two. So obviously, there's an issue within Christian marriages. When we lose focus of God being our cornerstone, our foundation, etc., things get bad. So, it's easy to see that the church necessarily isn't doing nearly enough for couples to help them focus on Christ. And I just say this for these points. We offer premarital counseling, and my view of premarital counseling and seeing it, going through it myself, is it's great. Like, it's really good. It's just a short, too short, and not enough, right? So good, but needs something else. Because after that, marriage, two sinners, right? Joys and pains. And obviously, as the pains get overwhelming at times, they give up. Some of us go to weekend conferences, which are great. I loved going to a weekend to remember with my wife, Carolee, at one point. It was a phenomenal weekend, right? I hear about marriage cruises being a great deal. Those are fun, right? But research actually proves, exit survey type stuff, that those situations usually have a positive effect for about 4 to 6 weeks. Okay? So I'm more than game to do this. If you guys want to give, Carolee and I can go on a cruise every 4 to 6 weeks. And we'll just, you know, give you all of our wisdom. Anyway, I'm joking. With the enemy constantly attacking, this beautiful example of Christ to his church, that's what marriage is supposed to do. Like, I'm supposed to love my spouse like Christ loves me. And so as the enemy hates that and attacks it, marriage is often falling into this crisis. So we then do step in. Like, churches do offer crisis counseling. Carolee and I try to step into that space when we can. And I can tell you, as one of those that step into that space, it's just a really hard place, right? So what in between? I'm talking about what's going on. What's going on between premarital and crisis? I think most people would agree with me that we Christians are failing to hold marriage in high honor because of the way those things I just mentioned, those negatives. I think we need to do something different. Romans 12:2 tells us to not be conformed to the patterns of the world, but to change the way we think about the world by renewing our minds within his word so that we can pursue what is right and pleasing to God. And John Piper once described the need to stay diligent in pursuing God with the metaphor of swimming upstream. And I know some are enjoying The Chosen right now. I think you guys got that working. Isn't it cool, the opening like little video to the entry of Chosen is the fish swimming all in one direction, but all of a sudden, boom, one of the fish changes color. He doesn't just change color, though. He turns around, swims the other way against all the other fish, right? John Piper's metaphor had the same kind of thing in mind. We are challenged and called to be swimming against the current of culture and following God, right? Culture usually does not follow God. So Piper pointed out, if you stop swimming, what happens? Well, you get swept downriver and you lose ground. I don't think we've necessarily stopped swimming as a church, but I do think we've slowed down and we're losing some ground. So what if? What if we had a marriage discipleship situation that helped married couples honor marriage? What if we got together and tackled lots of the most common issues together so that we eliminated or reduced conflicts and grew in grace towards each other? What if the married couples of this church took a stand and began a more serious effort to follow Jesus, to not conform to the patterns of this world, but to renew our minds, which would obviously help us live out His good and perfect and pleasing will? What if, through a more serious and different effort to build grace into our marriages, we began to influence our kids, our families, our singles, and even our community with more and more shining examples of how beautiful God's design for marriage is? This isn't a gospel reason that I presented, but the gospel is the reason. We should want this. Married couples should want to gather together, Hebrews 10:25. Married couples should want to sharpen each other, Proverbs 27:17, so that we empower each other to not be like the culture. And why should we want this? Because of Christmas, because of Easter, because of the gospel. We should want to love our spouses more because He first loved us. 1 Peter 4:19. This is a great opportunity. It starts with us. It starts with each marriage, and it's going to start here at East Lincoln. East Lincoln is going to start something to help. We're going to start an effort to be different. As the new year begins, this January, we will be beginning to offer our married couples a marriage discipleship ministry called Grace Marriage. Now, this is kind of cool. Andrea Franzen heard about Grace Marriage listening to Family Life Today podcast. And a shout out to Family Life Today podcast. If you want to listen to really good content about marriages, listen to Dave and Ann Wilson, Family Life Today. It's wonderful. Okay? But she hears about this program, Grace Marriage. She shares it with Rebecca Lindner. Rebecca Lindner tells Carolee and me about it. We are always being bugged in a really, really good way by Aaron and Marcia about what can we do for marriages. So we tell Aaron and Marcia about it. And all of us start to like look at this information and talk about it. Had a meeting with one of their reps. And we were just blown away by it and really encouraged. The program is extremely appealing because of the work they put in for you and the success it has been enjoying. As we embrace it, it's going to provide us with support through video and discussion content revolving around topics that every marriage needs to address. And each time we meet, we plan on having time to just be friends and chat and enjoy, but then watch the content. It's short and sweet, 8 to 10 minutes of kind of video content, and then a guidebook leads us as couples to be talking about these topics together before we have group discussion, because we can all benefit from each other. Now, we plan on meeting around, depending on schedules, third Fridays of every month. Carolee and I have really enjoyed this kind of format with other studies. We've done kind of like Right Now Media type studies. Again, those are great, but they're short. And Grace Marriage is way better because it provides content for 7 consecutive years. But they're constantly working on it. It's not like they've developed 7 years and now it's just published and that's it. You know, buy the book now and 10 years from now it'll be the same book. They're constantly working on it on our behalf. It's awesome. It's not just a weekend or a 4 to 8 week study. So it costs something to actually participate, and that's a great thing. So some of you might go, what? Wait a minute. It costs about 11 bucks a month, 130 a year. We're going to be calling them date nights, but it gets you these 12 date nights. We'll either have them at church or someone's home, depending on the size of the group. But research proves that if we do it for free, people do not engage with it as seriously or work at it as much. And Carrie Leo and I have experienced this within counseling. We love to provide free counseling. Our experience is usually that it doesn't work as well as when we be firm and say, no, you got to get some, the old cliche, skin in the game, right? And then all of a sudden we take it more seriously. So it's actually a good thing that we have to pay into this. But again, they're doing a ton of work for us on the backside, providing us with this constantly updated stuff. So what is grace? Grace marriage is not, that's what I was trying to get out of my mouth there. It is not group counseling or a seminar or a place that forces you to share your failures. What grace marriage is a Christ-centered discipleship program that helps marriages build grace, forgiveness, gratitude, and probably most importantly, communication. Grace marriage is a safe place to invest in your marriage. Grace marriage is a way for you to get on the same page with your spouse and have good conversation. And grace marriage is a tool to help prioritize and navigate issues while they're still manageable before they get out of hand. And grace marriage is a way to show your children, your grandchildren, and more that marriage is worth effort and investment. The patterns that we show them are usually the patterns they follow. If you don't like the thought of meeting 12 times a year or paying 11 bucks a month, I don't think it's wrong to point a few things out to you. If you are too busy to do this, you are probably too busy. Okay? Honestly. Now, kids events are many times one of the reasons you're too busy. And I've been there, and I do know what that's like. But here's something to consider there. Research strongly proves this to be true. That if you're at every one of your kids' events, but your marriage isn't healthy, that is far more detrimental to those kids than to miss a couple of events and have a strong marriage. So think about that. If it costs too much, well, most of us spend more on our, like, I don't know, gardens, streaming services, hobbies, yeah, or special coffees every month. I know that's kind of a mean little guilt trip point, but it's true. Like, it's not a lot of money. Most of us invest, a kind of a tangent point that's the same but different. Most of us do invest in stuff. We invest in getting better with our career or helping the kids or our hobbies or retirement. And every time we invest, usually it works for our benefit. Like, we get positive return. Well, how about investing in your marriage, right? Why don't we invest in our marriages more and enjoy that kind of fruit? And last, whether you're a first-year marriage or a 50-year in marriage, all of us can grow in this. All of us can grow deeper in grace. Grace Marriage put together a great video that highlights how common it is for our marriages to need work. Okay, but before we show that, Rebecca Lindner is going to come up and share a little bit more about Grace Marriage here at East Lincoln. I don't know where the microphone. You got it? Sorry.
Does it work? So Kent gave so many reasons why we need to be prioritizing our marriages and the ripple effect that it has on those around us, especially our families. And Ephesians 5 demonstrates how marriage was created to mirror Christ's relationship with the church. Having strong marriages and families let us reflect the gospel to our neighbors and those we interact with regularly. How important it is that we make marriage a priority. The outside world is watching our marriage. Our children are watching our marriage. Let's show them Jesus. Let's show them two Christ followers loving one another well and putting his grace on display as a walking billboard for the gospel. I've asked God many different times to break my heart for what breaks yours, and there are many things in this world that are broken. But broken marriages break my heart the most. It's not something that typically happens overnight, but it's the small actions and habits that lead to the divide over time. Grace Marriage created this video, and it's a good illustration of how the divide and drift can happen. So I don't know about many of you, but if Joshua and I were to do that exercise, we would be pretty far apart. And we're in a season of life with three little kids at home, so we have plenty of excuses why it happens. It can happen so naturally, as with any season of life that we're in. There's always going to be excuses, but I want to prioritize the most important horizontal relationship that God has given me. For several years, I've wanted to implement a date night, but it just has never happened because I've let life and busyness deter me. So I'm really looking forward to starting Grace Marriage and having this on our monthly calendar so we have intentionality built into our schedule. As Kent had said, we plan to meet one Friday of every month, typically the third is what we're hoping for. If you are interested in joining, there is a sign-up sheet at the back. And we're asking for your name, email address, and then if you're interested in joining the team, we have some opportunity for hospitality, possibly facilitators, and maybe an admin. If you are interested, we'd be happy to have you help. Sign-up is going to be available for a couple of weeks until the beginning of January, and then we'll be sending out more communication in an email with a link also to order the workbooks. So the workbooks look like this. You get four of them per couple. So two, one is for six sessions, the first six sessions, one is for the second six sessions, and each individual person in the couple gets that book. Kent had mentioned that we're going to be meeting in a group. There's not going to be pressure to share if you don't want to. In that group, it's more intended for intentional time together with your spouse, so there's self-reflection, and then one-on-one time to discuss with your spouse different things that you've taken away. And also part of the workbook, there is some application that is in there for you to work through throughout the week if you'd like. So I think it should be a really good resource. We're really excited about it and thankful that Grace Marriage has designed this for us. So if you have questions, you can ask Kent, Carolee, Marsha, myself, and we're happy to answer them.
Thank you. Yeah. It's new. So as she was sharing, I was like, oh yeah, I probably could have said something better or different. To repeat a few things. I'm very excited because we do need to do something different. Again, I don't think we've stopped swimming. It's not like we're completely losing, but we're not winning as much or as well as we really probably can. And the Bible has always had it before us. Pursue it this way, and it will probably go better, right? Gather, sharpen, help one another. Don't do it alone. That's not in my notes, so I'll stop, right? And we can finish this up. But singles, you're in this with us together. I know I touched on it and then focused on married couples strongly, but singles, you're right in here with us because you need to fight along with us for standing up for what marriage is within culture, yes. But you also need to just help by seeking advice from healthy marriages. So healthy marriages, married couples, we need to be healthy or get healthier. As you, many of you, most of the singles I talk to want to be married. And I shared it in one of my past messages on marriage. It's over 95% of our culture wants to get married. So it's not like that's a odd thing. So they need to ask and look to us, married couples, for advice, etc. And they do need to help with basic support. Ooh, is that me? Sorry. with basic supports. Perhaps singles you can do is something as simple as babysitting for couples who want to make it to these date nights. But married couples, we need to be different. With the enemy's constant attack on marriage, we need to adjust to these attacks. If we don't, we should expect more of the same or worse, more acceptance of marriage being okay in different forms, more sex outside of marriage, more porn, more selfishness, more of all the stuff which keeps the non-Christian divorce rate climbing past 50% and the Christian marriages living within dysfunction. And that results in more broken homes, more broken adults, more broken kids, and a continuing brokenness of our culture. So let's fight. Let's be different. Let's hold marriage in high esteem and enjoy what God has in store for us by committing to invest in gathering, invest in examining ourselves, invest in sharing married life with each other and cultivating more spiritual fruit within God's design. Amen? Let's pray. Well, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how you are desperately always speaking in to our world, our lives, and trying to say, here is the way. And Lord, I know as I say those words, I know that following you isn't all of a sudden just bliss and glee and joy. There's hard, but it's all hard for our benefit, our good. And so please help bless our hearts, I guess, wash over us and convict us to be involved and pursue a higher position, a higher way of honoring you and the way you have designed things to be. So we need you. We desperately need you to do that kind of work in us. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for loving us and forgiving us the way you do. I ask within your power, within your direction. Amen.